Hello and welcome to Unquestionably Nerdy, the show where we talk about everything that makes us want to geek out, freak out, and roll for initiative. I am one of your hosts, Kat MacArthur, and whom am I joined by?
As always, you're joined by the Hall to your Oats, the Simon to your Garfunkel, the Vecna to your Sarawak, Cole Browning.
Oh, I didn't realize you will one day betray me to go off on your own dark pursuits, but I guess that makes sense. Hi, Cole, but who else are we joined by as I sense another dark presence on this Discord call?
Oh, no.
Ah, hello, it is I! Ethan. Hi, I'm Ethan.
Cut the recording, we're done.
I'm the bard here to play the song. I'm the jester for Vecna and whatever else. I don't know the name you said. I can't repeat it, but I'm the jester. Hello.
Hi, Ethan. Welcome to the show. Good to have you. First time, long time listener, first time caller. What's up?
I've called so many times. I wanted to tell you so many things about all the incorrect opinions that you have had, Cole, and Gannon, and both of you. I don't understand you and your... look, all I'm saying is I would have some different takes on going back to medieval England.
Ah, well.
And, you know, I would have some different takes about how to survive, you know, old times, and but it's okay.
This man does not support selling indulgences or fraud against the Catholic Church. I can't believe it.
Well, it's fair to have differing opinions, fair to have different takes on how to execute different scenarios, and that is, of course, how we interact all the time, as we have been friends, questionable, since high school, and one of the main ways that we hang out back then and nowadays is... of course, Dungeons and Dragons, where we come across all types of scenarios where we disagree on how to advance on certain encounters and face certain threats. Isn't that right, gentlemen?
I feel like we're all... I don't know.
I wouldn't say that we disagree.
I feel like we're pretty... we're usually in good agreement. I say we're... yeah, I feel like me and Cole are actually on... we're on lockdown. Him and I are pretty tight on that stuff, actually. We're pretty close.
I guess that's true. It's mostly the other players disagreeing with both of you.
Yeah.
Disagreeing with both of you together.
I would say we are probably the twins of chaos.
We're boys. Yeah, that's my homie, man. Don't mess with Simon or you'll get Garfunkel. I say it.
I'm going to Funkel your Gar.
Don't Funkel my Gar.
For those of you who would want more context, Ethan is also probably the single luckiest person in our D&D group. He is the only one who has not had a character die.
Not permanently.
You know, you say luckiest. I've tried to kill him so many times. So I don't know if that's necessarily true.
It's jumping off a roof into an explosion. It's, what else? It's going after a high CR Arcanoloth and pirate armada captain, basically on your own.
Drinking parasitic wine out of a old archaic tower.
Yeah, that'll do it. Or it hasn't done it so far.
I do think one of the ultimate legends that the audience should know about Ethan is there was a time when he plays a Herringon. If you don't know, that is basically Bugs Bunny, but in this version he's a pirate.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point where over a year of sessions, which during this time it means it was probably at least 30 sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not roll a single attack in all 30 of those sessions.
I don't even know if it was not rolling a single attack. It was definitely not dealing a single point of damage.
Most of the time, he was high on an inordinate amount of mushrooms that he had been trying to say, doesn't this give me proficiency in the alchemy kit or herbalism?
Yeah,
I know things about the shrooms. And that was about a full year arc.
And you would think that would be true, but no, you in fact do not get proficiency with herbalism because of heavy drug abuse.
No.
One of the greatest things, though, he did try to set up psychotherapy in this world before, you know, many people would think psychotherapy existed.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, like, probably less than 30 sessions into a campaign, and this is one we've been running for years... he mentioned if we gave the big bad enough psychedelics, maybe he could talk to God and repent for all of his issues.
Yeah. It's the early days of psychotherapy. It's very Freud-esque.
I think it was more of just, maybe if we give him this much, he'll die. And we won't have to fight him. And, you know, that'll be that.
Could have been, but either way, he is the comedy in our group, the luck, and sometimes the reason we go into a near TPK.
Yeah, I often try to do things that I think will be effective and do damage, and in fact are not effective and do not do damage, and I in fact do nothing instead of something.
And speaking of him doing nothing, Caden, I hope he isn't doing nothing, because if we're rolling for initiative today, I don't want to be fighting alone.
No, I don't think you do. Also, I believe Caden might be having some issues.
Well, during this time, we're going to take a break, and here is where we're going to start saying funny stories about Caden that we remember from high school. So, take it away, Ethan.
Excuse us, audience, while we handle these technical difficulties.
Well, we were about to start telling embarrassing stories about Caden in high school, but...
No.
Since Caden is back now, Caden, I assume that Ethan will at least be helping me in whatever we're doing today, right? I mean, rolling initiative, I sure hope he's not going to follow up upon his old trends.
Well, you ask if he's helping. It's actually more of the opposite. You guys in this situation will be competing, is more like it.
You're going down, bitch.
As we've discussed, we are... Each of us very practiced in approaching combat situations and different antagonistic forces in our D&D adventures together. But, yeah?
Sorry, I thought you froze again, and I was like, no way. God damn it. Twice.
I'm still here. I'm fine. I'm still here. Knock on wood. But we are all very experienced in engaging in combat scenarios together and plotting out combat strategies, and how better to approach these combat situations together than to know your enemies, gentlemen. And so today, we are going to test exactly that. We are going to see how well you guys know Dungeons & Dragons monsters.
I will get a number greater than one.
Okay.
Oh, I hope I get a number greater than one. due to my past experience in academic team with you, Cole, I don't think it's looking too great for me off rip, but I have faith, you know.
Look, I'm gonna give the credit to Ethan there. The one question that almost lost us everything, and that it in fact did. Ethan was the only one on the team who knew. So paying back that debt years later, Ethan gets a freebie for whatever you're about to do.
Okay.
I don't understand what this is referencing, but sure.
It's fine. Simple reference. I live under a rock. I'm not a fan of modern pop music. I did not know about Camila Cabello's Havana.
Is this when y'all were on debate team together in high school?
This was academic team. This lost us a match because I did not know about this song.
Okay, well, Ethan, you have a freebie for this game we're about to play. I guess we'll figure out how to incorporate said freebie, because let's go over the rules for this game. A game for which I also hope that you get more than one, because a little insight to our audience. This game does come from a previous recording attempt that got lost in the past. So this is our second time playing this game. So let's see how they do well this time. So here's how we do it. I have 10 monsters for you gentlemen. For each monster, I have listed 5 facts about them. These facts include their creature type, their challenge rating, a notable feature, a notable action, and a bit of lore. All these monsters, of course, come from the 2014 Monster Manual for Dungeons & Dragons, and during each of the 10 rounds, the two of you will take turns choosing one of these facts. I will read off that fact, and you will both have the chance to guess what that creature is. The person who guesses the monster correctly will receive a number of points equal to the number of remaining facts for that round. You are not allowed to pull up the Monster Manual during the game. You have each been provided a bank of answers for the monsters we have coming up, so you've had a chance to look over the Monster Manual, but you will not be able to look at the monster manual during the game. For example, of scoring, if I only read the creature type, but you are unable to guess the monster based on that, and we move on to the notable feature, which does allow you to guess the monster correctly, the winner of that round will receive 4 points. So, any questions?
Can you go over one more time what we can ask as far as for the clues, what the clue categories are?
We have the creature type, such as undead, celestial, aberration, monstrosity, humanoid, etc. We have the challenge rating, how powerful that monster is rated in the Monster Manual. We have the notable feature. I looked at named features mostly for this, but there are some exceptions, like if it has a notable alignment, or if it has a notable language, if it has a notable vulnerability, stuff like that. So a notable feature of the monster. Then we have notable action. So whatever action it might take in combat, that might be a certain group of spells it can cast, it might be a certain attack it can make, it might be a legendary action that's very special to that monster. And then we have a bit of lore about that monster, so where it fits into the story of your campaign / Dungeons and Dragons, or our experience with it personally. So, creature type, challenge rating, notable feature, notable action, bit of lore.
I'm ready.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I guess we should decide this now. How the fuck do we want to include a freebie that Cole has so graciously offered? Is it like, here's a thought that I have. We will determine who wants to start off the first round. So if Ethan starts off the first round and names challenge rating first and can't guess the monster, based on that, then it will go to Cole for that round. Cole will choose a clue, can't answer. It will go back to Ethan for the round, choose a clue, et cetera, et cetera. So, do we want to say for the freebie, Ethan, you can choose at any one point when to get an extra clue?
So give
you
it
can
to
go
him twice.
Twice in a row with clues? Give it to him twice?
Give sure. it to him twice. That same thing.
Okay, cool. Ethan, you have 2 uses of extra clues.
Cool.
He's like, all right, thanks. Didn't expect this? Okay, cool.
Whatever. I was going to win anyway, so...
Okay, well, let's get started. If both of you have a dice handy, let's go ahead and roll a straight d20. Let's call this rolling for initiative. See who goes first.
I actually don't know where my dice are because after the move. Let me... I have them in this closet.
Everybody, Ethan just recently moved. Everybody say congratulations to Ethan for buying a house.
Congratulations?
It is something to congratulate in this... Okay.
What are we rolling? A D6?
D20.
What kind of D20?
I rolled an 11.
An 11. You can also pull up Google Dice Roller if you need to, Ethan.
That is my main dice. The Google RNG is great.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do because I have no idea where my dice are.
Maybe I should have told you guys to have dice ready for this.
Google Dice Roller. Okay. 14.
14. Ethan will start off our first round for our first monster. Ethan, you have your two free extra clues for the rest of the game. You can use them whenever you like. Ethan, for our first monster, what clue would you like first? Creature type, CR, notable feature, notable action, or lore?
Give me that lore.
For our bit of lore for this first monster, and you can consult your answer bank as needed, famous figures that have once been counted amongst these monsters include such as Vecna and Acerak.
That's a lich.
Ethan, it is indeed a lich. You gain 5 points for this round.
That's easy. I told you I'm winning this, Cole. It's in the bag. I don't need your extra clues.
Ethan starts off with a strong lead.
Don't worry, I got this.
Stepping out early with 5 points to start, one clue used for that first round. So for our second round, we'll go ahead. You guys can go ahead and mark off Lich however you need to on your answer bank, and we'll go ahead and move in to our second round. Cole, what clue would you like to start with?
I am also going to go with lore.
For a bit of lore on this next monster, we have, when on the material plane, this backward-handed fiend prefers to operate by masquerading as a member of society's upper crust, such as a noble lord or wealthy merchant. Any thoughts, Cole?
This is obviously evil Tony the Tiger. This is the Rakshasa.
coming in just as strong early on is Cole with a tying it up with 5 points. That is indeed the Rakshasa, the backward-handed, tiger-like fiend of the lower planes.
All I'm saying, I remember I made a Rakshasa character thanks to your homebrew, Cadden. His name was Pendleton, and I remember he was very fancy, very elegant, and that was why.
He was very fancy.
I am honestly very surprised that you did not use the tidbit that a Rakshasa was what broke my only paladin character in any of your campaigns, Oath.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't the Rakshasa that did it. Also, I'm not confirming there was any Rakshasa in that campaign because you guys never actually met him. But the hypothetical Rakshasa.
There was a Rakshasa in the campaign because we met him at the dinner. We met him at the dinner table, and I tried to stab him.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Earlier in the tower.
Where I learned of them, actually.
So we have dealt with Rakshasa.
I forget that one was included in that first arc of the game. Ethan wasn't around for that at that time.
Great time though.
Yeah, it was, because that's where I learned that they existed. That's where I first learned that they were actually like even a creature.
Ethan was around for that time.
I feel like Ethan and I should be playing against Cadden for the memories of our campaigns.
I agree.
That's probably fair.
I think we had Pablo there too.
Pablo was not in that campaign. Pablo ran the campaign where you played a Rakshasa.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I homebrewed the player race for you, but yeah, Pablo was the one running that game. And you were one of two tiger-based character because I was also playing a Tabaxi playing my Tabaxi monk with a tiger-y spin.
Very cool. I like the cats.
Tiger bros.
Tiger bros.
Pair of furries together.
Boys, in order to get more into the control and the mindset to win, I have now blindfolded myself.
Okay.
Sure, dude, bro. What are those margaritas doing to you, man? They're making you blindfold yourself. What's next?
If I've learned anything from Dodgeball, a true underdog story, being blindfolded will have me avoid the murder balls.
Okay.
And I feel like this is what this is. This is sudden death.
Cole will continue this game in the form of the Devil of Hell's Kitchen. But we'll start round three with our next monster, Ethan. What bit of cluage would you like?
I'm going to be honest. In my opinion, there's no... Like, the best clue to take every single time is lore. There's no other clue that is as good as lore.
Okay. Let's see how you do with this bit of lore, then. The vanity that inspires the creature's cursed creation persists in undeath. The creatures covet beautiful objects, fine jewelry, paintings, statues, and other objects of art. At the same time, this creature abhors any mirrored surface, for it can't bear to see the horror of its own existence. A single glimpse of itself is enough to send this creature into a rage. Any thoughts, Ethan?
My initial thoughts are a banshee.
Okay. You want to lock that in?
No, I don't. I don't think I do. No, I don't think I want to lock it in. Why you say it like that? Oh, okay. Persist through undeath, which means there. So it's an undead creature. You told me that. Maybe I am an idiot. Maybe I'm a stupid.
I mean, all I can say is mirrors are kind of the clue here. What would not want to look at itself for, you know, fear of consequences?
You know what? You're right. And I almost said this, and then I've changed my mind to banshee. Is it a basilisk?
Go basilisk. You unlock that in?
Oh my god, no, it's Medusa. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. I've read past Medusa like 3 times. I'm sorry.
You unlock in Medusa?
Yes, please. Yeah, that's my answer. I'm sorry.
This monster is not a Medusa.
Really?
It is not a Medusa. Ethan, would you like to spend either of your freebies, or would you like to pass it on to Cole?
Take the free shot, Ethan.
Yeah, I think I need to take the freebie. Okay. Give me an action.
This creature's notable action is the wail. It is a once-per-day action. The creature releases a mournful wail, provided that they aren't in sunlight. The wail has no effect on constructs and undead. All other creatures within 30 feet of them that can hear must make a DC 13 con save. On a failure, a creature drops to 0 HP. On a success, a creature takes 10 or 3d6 psychic damage.
Can we please lock in Banshee?
You want to lock in Banshee?
Can we please lock in Banshee?
It is indeed a Banshee.
And I hate everything, man. God damn it. God damn it.
Okay, Cole, did you know what you were doing with that? Focus on the mirror.
I may
You're
or
an
may
asshole.
Not.
You're an asshole.
I was like, as soon as Cole, I believed Cole when he said, focus on the mirror. I believed that he was legit thinking that, but I was like, ooh, that's going to steer him in a bad direction.
I've seen Clash of the Titans. I know what's up.
Yeah. You apparently don't. There's no banshees in that.
You asked if I was sure, and I didn't know if I was. It scared me. You know what? And I should have just gone with my gut. That's what you know.
Should have gone with it.
I trusted myself from the beginning. I need to keep trusting myself.
Yeah. You still got the 4 points, and you take that lead. But we will move on to, I think, round four. Cole, what clue would you like?
I'm kind of with Ethan here. Until it proves me wrong, we're going to go with lore.
A bit of lore for this creature for round four. These creatures are some of the most rampant breeders within the lower planes, often known to mate with humanoids, producing other fiends known as cambions.
You better get this right, because I know it.
I would say this is Ethan and I's kind of dream romantic interest in any D&D campaign. Even though I think their job is to kill us, this is the succubus or incubus.
It is indeed the succubus / incubus, and that gives Cole a 5-pointer for this round, meaning Cole takes a single point lead. Have you guys ever included succubi and or incubi in any campaign you've played? I have. Or for one I've DM'd, yeah.
I would say Ethan has. In one campaign, I was a vampire spawn. Mm. And I think I was dating a succubus.
I think it was on the ferry. On the ferry, guided by fairies.
It was on the Fae party boat.
Mm-hmm.
Which... D&D people, if you've never had a Fae party boat in your campaign,
you gotta find a spot to
do it. Find a spot to include it.
You gotta find a spot to include it. It's my first ever. I remember my first Fae party boat, and ever since then, I've always had to include a Fae party boat.
You got married to two different women. One of you stole a spell book. It was great.
I had baby dragons.
You had a fairy dragon. Yep.
Little pseudo dragons.
Yep. Right? You did indeed. You had. I was going to say Jelly, but I think Jelly was your fairy dragon named Jelly, or was Jelly the name of the pseudo dragon that I included in the previous part of the campaign? I think Jelly was the pseudo.
I want to say Jelly was the previous.
I think Jelly was the pseudo dragon that Pablo adopted.
I will say I was a part of stealing that book, though, and Ethan's character, Viserion, did have a double wedding.
Yep.
We said Viserion, and I forgot which one. I was like, what? I was like, no, he didn't. Yeah, he did.
Previous incarnation of the same character.
This was Viserion the werewolf, not Viserion the Bugs Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Not Viserion.
Yes. but yeah, I have included specifically an incubus. Though I kind of draw the line. I kind of blur the line when it comes between incubi and succubi, because I feel like if they're meant to take on the ideal form of whoever they're seducing, they should be like gender fluid, essentially, being able to slip between male and female forms.
I do think in the lore they are gender fluid.
Oh, okay. Well, I've not read that article of Dragon Magazine, but I had a player with a tiefling background, a tiefling family, a long line of tieflings, so at some point in the past they had this incubus ancestor, and eventually they were treated the incubus as an antagonist in their personal story, but eventually was pushed so far in the story that they had to make a pact with this incubus. So it was very fun.
I think tieflings are a very cool character.
Neat.
Specifically, I mean, I know my first, I think my first real D&D character that I fell in love with was my tiefling character, Gorstad.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember like making him, it was very cool.
Yeah.
You know, because he was the first tiefling in a line of, you know, regular people.
Mm, yeah.
Tieflings are cool. They're the best race, man. Let's be honest. They're the best race.
Everybody likes their edgy, fiendish boys and girls and days and thems.
Yeah.
Well, Cole pulls ahead with a 1-point advantage, but Ethan, it is up to you next. We have our round 5, I believe. Ethan, what bit of lore, I'm assuming?
Give me the big old L.
Okay.
Give me the big L.
All right. Well, this is a bit of more personal to our group. And the bit of lore is simple enough. Mm-hmm. You guys fought one of these during the Carcera arc of our campaign.
A bugbear.
He's not bugbear. Would you like to use your freebie or would you like to give it to Cole?
What? It's not a bugbear? That was like the big fucking thing,
that was
bro.
The fight against the army of bugbears.
Them. There were so many. There were so many bugbears. What the fuck? That wasn't
Ethan,
what it was.
Ethan,
what?
I'm gonna point fucked. Out there were 3 things in our list of things that we fought in the Carcera arc.
That's why I'm pissed off. That's why I'm angry. Because I'm looking at it and I know what it could be. 2 other options. Go for it, man. 50-50 it. Figure it out, dude. Because I'm not going to give you 100% odds on it. Go ahead.
I mean, you still have your last one. If you want to pass it to me, that's fine.
I mean, I just...
You want to use your last freebie or want to give it to Cole?
I guess I'll use another freebie. I'll take the 4 if I can. Okay. What is an action?
Its notable action is its bite. Melee weapon attack, +5 to hit, reach 5 feet, 1 target. On a hit does 10 or 2d6 plus 3 piercing damage plus 7 or 2d6 poison damage.
Is it an ettercap?
It is not an ettercap. We did fight both bugbears and ettercaps. Bugbears, far more substantial of a fight that y'all faced during that arc of the game. But I can see where you
there's no way that this is the notable action of this creature then. If it's the creature I'm thinking of, no way this is the one the action that you picked that you were like, yeah, sure, this one.
Well, that is...
I'm sure there were better options for this creature.
If
you picked bite, you're an asshole.
I can show you the stat block that will explain all. But Cole, that is Ethan's last freebie. What piece of cluage would you like?
Can I get the one that is not challenge rating or its classification?
So not creature type or CR?
Yes, whatever that last one is.
That is the notable feature, which is petrifying gaze. If a creature starts its turn within 30 feet of the creature and the two of them can see each other, the creature can force the creature to make a DC 12 con save if the creature isn't incapacitated. On a failed save, the creature, the target, becomes... magically begins to turn to stone and is restrained. It must repeat the saving throw at the end of its next turn. On a success, the effect ends. On a failure, the target is petrified until freed by a greater restoration spell or other magic. And there's more to the notable feature, but Cole, would you like to guess?
That is, of course, the One-Eyed Architect, which was its title in our campaign, mm-hmm. But the architect was a basilisk.
It was indeed a basilisk. That will give Cole 3 points.
I just want to say that, like, me, I guess I realize now that I'm the dunce for asking for notable action instead of notable feature.
Right. The petrifying gaze is not an action. It is a feature because it is passive.
Yeah, fuck me.
And it does, the baseline, so we did fight a souped-up basilisk in that arc of the game that I call the Architect because it built all the tunnels in the Underdark in that area.
That was a near TPK.
It got very close. 2 of you got petrified, or 3 of you got petrified?
This was back in the time when it was 3-person campaign.
It was just the 3 of you, and that's when we added in Ruben. But yeah, it was a near TPK. I put together a beefed up basilisk for that particular creature. But for a baseline basilisk, its The only action it has on its stat block, which I guess makes it notable, is indeed a bite that does piercing and poison damage.
I hate it here.
Well, that will conclude that round, and we'll bring it back to Cole. Just got the last guess, so we'll give it to Ethan for this first guess.
Give me lore.
Lore. These creatures are. Let me pull up the actual page in the monster manual.
I need to make sure I really pay attention to this. Say some stupid shit like bugbear or ettercat.
These creatures, like so many in Dungeons & Dragons, are proud slavers. The creatures trade for the finest slaves that money can buy, forcing them to work in dangerous subterranean realms that rumble with earthquakes. As much as they enjoy enslaving others, the creatures hate being enslaved themselves. Powerful wizards have been known to lure these creatures to the material plane and trap them in the confines of magical gemstones. Unfortunately for the creature, their greed makes it relatively easy for these mages to cozen them into service.
Is this a Dao?
It is indeed a Dao, the Earth Genies of Dungeons & Dragons. Another creature that you guys fought, not during the Carcera arc, but when you guys went back to the outskirts of Carcera, and you fought Utmata.
I'm waiting for her to ask us to be her slave. I mean, we are her slaves. I'm just waiting for her to call us for her favor.
You guys are indebted to that particular Dao after losing a fight to her.
It was pretty fucking tough.
Yeah, it was meant to be. But that does mean, Ethan, you are at 14 points to Cole's 13.
Wow!
Impossible.
Hey.
So we still got a few rounds.
Hey, I did it!
We still got a few rounds to go. Still anybody's game. Cole, would you like to give us... Would you like to choose a piece of lore? Or a piece of cluage?
I mean, you had the correct piece when you even said it. Let's start out with the lore, baby.
Start out with a bit of lore for this next creature while I pull up the stat block again. This bit of lore is manifest emotions. These creatures can experience deity-like fits of serenity or rage. It can affect the environment around it by its mood. When a creature...
This is not lore.
This is a bit of lore. It's not in the stat block.
Oh.
When this creature is unhappy, the clouds might cry tears of salt water. The wildflowers in surrounding meadows might wilt. Dead fish might wash ashore in lakes or rivers, or nearby forests might lose their leaves from their trees. When this creature is jubilant, sunlight flows everywhere. Small animals frolic in its footsteps, and birds fill the sky with their pleasant songs. What do you think?
Ethan, what do you think it is?
I know what it is. I'm not going to say it.
Come on, Ethan. I need your help.
You know what I think it is? I think it's a bugbear.
All right, Caden. Ethan said bugbear, so my answer is an Empyrean.
It is indeed an Empyrean.
Oh, no! How'd he know? No, I thought he would say bugbear!
The deception check failed.
Shit!
But it is indeed an Empyrean. That will give Cole 5 points for this round, bumping him up to 18 to Ethan's 14. But Ethan, would you like to choose our next bit of cluage?
Just give me the lore. Why are you asking me?
Steve? Bit of lore.
Just give me the lore. You know I want it.
Okay, pulling up stat block for this bit of lore. Where are you? There you are. For this one, we will go with the bit of lore. Mouths of Madness. When this creature senses prey, its mouths begin to murmur and chatter, each with a different...
Pause. Gibbering Mouther. It's a Gibbering Mouther.
It is indeed
I know.
The Gibbering
this
Mouther.
Is one of the things... I had to look this one up, actually, earlier, because I was like, what the fuck is that, dude?
It's terrible. It's a freaky thing
to look at. Yeah. It's really horrible, man. I know I don't like it. That lump of flesh.
Okay, well, that will... Again, bump.
Give me those 5 points.
Bump Ethan up another 5 points to 19. This brings us to our second to last round. And why don't we make it a little interesting? I'm going to say for these next two rounds, choose.
Get rid of lore.
Do we want to get rid of lore, or do we want to say that we can't use lore? Or we say we don't open up with lore? I think that might be good. I think let's get rid of lore for these next two rounds.
I think we should get rid of it entirely.
Okay. I'm into that.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay, so this actually makes the point spread tighter, since now you guys have 4 points available for each round, for both rounds. Cole, what bit of clue would you like? Cluage would you like?
There's only one other right option.
I would like the notable feature.
A notable feature? Let's pull up its notable feature. This creature's notable feature is detect sentience. The creature can sense the presence and location of any creature within 300 feet of it that has an intelligence of 3 or higher, regardless of interposing barriers, unless the creature is protected by a mind-blank spell. Detect sentience. What do you think, Cole?
I've played Baldur's Gate 3. Oh. I know the best pets. Yeah. The best pets are the owlbear. I honestly forgot what the other pet was. I feel like it was like maybe some... Oh, it was the ooze. It was the ooze that turned into a cow. The owlbear. And in this case, the intellect devourer.
It is indeed the intellect devourer, giving Cole 4 whopping points. That will give Cole that round, bumping him up to 22 points to Ethan's 19. Ethan, if you get this next question right from the start, that will win you the game by 1 point.
Ken, can I please have the notable feature of this creature?
This notable feature of this monster, as I pull it up in the monster manual.
Can I please have the lore of this monster?
You may not, actually. This notable feature, you said?
Correct.
Notable feature is shielded mind. The creature is immune to scrying and to any effect that would sense its emotions, read its thoughts, or detect its location. What do you think?
Initial thoughts, I'm thinking mind flare. Let me think. I know it's not Yahtzees. I know it's not a Medusa. I know it's not a Bugbear. I know it's not Chimera. I know it's not an Edercap. I know it's not a Coatl. So it's really between mind flare, Hydra, or Kraken. To be honest, I know what Hydra is. I've never looked at the stat block, not a single time. Same with the Kraken. Never looked at the stat block, not a single time. Mind Flayer, I've also not looked at the stat block, not a single time. So I really don't know, but I know it's one of those three. That being said, as Cola said, I've played Baldur's Gate 3.
Right.
Mind Flayers, that just kind of feels right. It just kind of feels up their alley. I think that's going to be my best guess, so Mind Flayer.
The Shielded Mind would indeed make sense for a mind flare, but it is not a mind flare. Cole, would you like the creature type, the CR, or the notable action?
Caden, I am going to take the CR.
The challenge rating of this creature is 4.
Well, maybe a Hydra.
You want to lock in Hydra?
No. Oh, no.
I think it is a bugbear, actually. I misstepped Cole. I think it's a bugbear.
Ethan, what was your other option?
The Chimera.
Chimera? It doesn't seem right for a Chimera.
Wait, hold on, wait. I rolled the nat 20 deception. It's definitely a Chimera.
Oh, okay. Okay, so definitely my answer should be Chimera. However, Ethan, I'm sorry you overlooked it. It's the lizard with wings. The only celestial, I think, other than the Empyrean on this list, it's the Coatl.
You want to lock in Coatl?
Is it?
That is my final answer, Caden.
Cole, with 3 points remaining for the round, it is indeed a Coatl, has the Shielded Mind feature.
Really?
And it is a CR4. Yeah, Coatls have Shielded Mind. They also have the notable action of Change Shape and the creature type of Celestial. And that brings an end to our 10th round, closing in 25 points for Cole and 19 points for Ethan. That was a close game. Ethan, if you could have knocked out Coatl there at the end, it could have given you the 4 points you needed.
Damn. You know what? And I read the Coatl lore, but I didn't really look at the stat block too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. I wasn't ready for this to knock out the lore. That's all I knew.
The lore was definitely a crutch in these listings, but...
Hold on, Caden.
Yes.
The lore was a crutch, but open your monster manual to any page.
Okay.
Pick one more.
Okay.
Sudden death.
Sudden death? Okay. I'm going to go to the table of contents. I'm going to scroll randomly. Weep. Okay, closing my eyes. Random monster, random monster, random monster, random monster. Whoop. Okay. What's a good... Okay, this would be a good one. So this is going to rely... This is not on any of our... This is not on our bank of options. But I feel like this is a good... this is a good bit of... I think this is a good monster to go off of. Cole. Well, Cole, you just guessed. So, Ethan. Yeah. Would you like... I'll say, well, we can... Do for this for the sudden death, do we want to open lore back up or keep it closed?
Let's make it so you can't choose lore from the start. First.
Okay, fair enough.
Fuck you, Cole.
I'll say neither of you can choose it first. We'll go through both of you and then we can open lore back up.
Okay, I guess I'll take the feature then. Notable feature.
Notable feature?
Sorry.
Notable feature, I will say this one has innate spellcasting, but it's an unusual bit of innate spellcasting. Innate spellcasting is a pretty common ability, but this one is pretty special. The creature's innate spellcasting ability is Charisma. It can innately cast a number of spells requiring no material components. As the creature ages and changes in color, it gains additional spells as shown below. When it is red, it can cast once per day each. Dancing Lights, Mage Hand, and Minor Illusion. When it turns orange, it can cast Color Spray. When it turns yellow, it can cast Mirror Image. When it turns green, it can cast Suggestion. When it turns blue, it can cast Major Image. When it turns indigo, it can cast Hallucinatory Terrain. And when it turns violet, it can cast Polymorph. Any thoughts?
So initially, I don't know why I was initially thinking of that playable race. The Genasi that have like the different seasons.
Oh, the Eladrin.
Eladrin, yes. But that sounds more of that's definitely some kind of fey creature.
What you thinking?
I'm thinking, I guess. Some kind of fairy. I guess some kind of fair.
I'm gonna need a particular monster from the monster manual.
Yeah, a fey creature. The fey. A fey creature, an elemental. We'll call it. Just say an elemental.
Elemental is a different type of creature. Okay.
Say an elemental. I'm just gonna say an elemental.
It is not an elemental creature. So we would cut out that notable feature. Cole, would you like a bit of cluage?
I think I may have it, but...
You guess right off the start, or do you want to go with the clue?
Let's go with the clue. Can I get the notable action?
Notable action is Euphoria Breath. Recharge on 5-6. The creature exhales a puff of euphoria gas at one creature within 5 feet of it. The target must succeed on a DC 11 wisdom save, or for 1 minute, the target can't take reactions and must roll a D6 at the start of each of its turns to determine its behavior during that turn. On a 1-4, the target takes no action or bonus action and uses all of its movement to move in a random direction. On a 5-6, the target doesn't move and the only thing it can do on its turn is make a DC 11 wisdom saving throw, ending the effect on itself on a success. Euphoria Breath.
So breath makes me think something draconic or lizard-like. The one thing that came to my mind is changing colors. I think of a chameleon.
Okay.
A chameleon is not a 5e monster, but I know that there is a 5e salamander monster.
Okay, yeah.
So I want to go with the 5e salamander as my answer.
The salamander is indeed a type of fire elemental in 5e, but that is not our monster. We are not looking at a salamander. Ethan, we'll go ahead and open lore back up. You have lore, creature type, and CR.
I think I want to just guess. I want to just guess.
What'd you get? What'd you think?
The way that you had reacted whenever you opened the book and saw this, and the way that we've been talking about this, and as Cole stated, euphoric breath, it makes me think of something draconic. Earlier, we were talking about fairy dragons, mm-hmm. pseudo dragons, and I'm sure that they have some sort of innate spell cast. I'm going to guess, is it a fairy dragon?
Ethan, you are right on the money. This is indeed a fairy dragon, and that will give you 3 bonus points for this bonus round, meaning you are 22 to Cole's 25.
No, damn it!
You were at 19 points, meaning the closest you could have gotten was 24.
Hey, you know what? I still got the answer right without needing the lore, and that makes me feel proud.
There you go.
Well, hold on.
Do you want a second sudden death?
I did say that that one was technically sudden death. So let's do one where we both get to guess off of one clue and just make it all or nothing. 1,000,000 points.
1,000,000 points?
Okay, here's what we'll do. I will take out...
We're playing Jimmy Fallon rules.
I will take out a D6. Whoever... If either of you get it right, I'll roll a D6 and give you that many points. How's that sound?
No, I think you do a D20 with advantage.
I don't think so. Make the rest of the game pointless.
A D6 plus 1.
A D6 plus 1 still wouldn't. If you got a 1, if I got a 1, it wouldn't help Ethan anyway. It would get Ethan to a 24.
A D6 plus 3.
No. We're going to do a D6. Gonna do a straight D6. If either, I will choose a monster at random. I'll go however many times it takes to pick a notable monster with actual notable features, a notable stat block. And if either of you guess it correctly with one guess, and we'll cut out lore for it, then I'll roll a D6 and give you that many points. So let me close my eyes and pick a random monster. Okay. This one's notable. Ethan just went. Cole, would you like type, CR, feature, or action?
Give me a notable feature.
A notable feature of this creature.
A feature of the creature.
A feature of the creature. There are two that I could choose. One would make it very obvious. Should I do the more obvious or the less obvious one?
I think you did the less obvious one for Cole.
The more obvious one for you?
Still the same clue. It's the same clue, technically. You know what I mean? So it's still just one clue.
Okay. I'll do the obvious... I think the obvious part of this clue is the name of the feature. So I'll leave out the name and I'll just give you the description. And we'll see how you do with that, Cole. The creature projects a magical illusion that makes it appear to be standing near its actual location, causing attack rolls against it to have disadvantage. If it is hit by an attack,
this trait is disrupted
until the end of its next turn. This trait is also disrupted while the creature is incapacitated or has a speed of 0.
It's scary because I know if I know the answer, I know Cole knows the answer, and then that means I'm fucked. It's so fucked. Oh.
Kaden,
yes.
I would like to use one of my lifelines. I'd like to ask Ethan, Ethan, can you make a cloak out of this?
Yeah, it's a displacer beast.
Yeah, it's a displacer beast.
It is indeed a displacer beast. That is the displacement feature of the displacer beast, giving Cole D6. 6 points!
God, no!
Giving Cole 31 points to Ethan's 22.
Hey, I'm just happy to be here. You know what? Fuck, you said it projects an image of itself, and I was like, no, you gotta be kidding.
I was considering whether or not to go with its avoidance ability, see if you could get it based on the creature is subjected to an effect, if the creature is subjected to an effect that allows it to make a saving throw to take only half damage, it instead takes no damage if it succeeds on the saving throw and only half damage if it fails. So basically, the rogue's evasion. That would have been much less obvious, I think.
Yeah, it would have been a lot harder.
Hey, good game.
Good game, Cole.
This was a good game. Ethan, I feel like we need to have you back in the future just to subject Kaden to this. I feel like he enjoyed your pain and suffering a bit too much.
Oh, so I should be guessing.
Wait, you know, you were talking about Pokemon, and I will make a Jeopardy where y'all can guess Pokemon.
Oh.
And y'all can, I'll make Jeopardy, and then y'all can play the Jeopardy, and I'll be the host of who's that Jeopardmon.
Anything past Gen 4, I'll be screwed, but okay.
Anything past the 1990s Pokemon the movie, I'll be screwed.
Well, we'll see.
Well, do you... Do you gentlemen feel any better prepared to take on these threats, most of which you have already faced in the campaign to this point?
Except for the Basilisk. I think I will see it and then instead be thinking it's two other different things.
Cool.
I feel like the scariest thing that I've come upon so far is the fact that this is the first time Cadden has ever said that he buffed up the Basilisk.
I did. Okay.
So knowing that he has basically said, Monster Manual be damned, I'm going to try and kill my players, leaves me very fearful.
Not know that till now.
I mean, I should have known that when I looked up, an Arcanoloth does not have Power Word Stun as a spell, and that ended up being a spell that killed one of our players about a month ago.
What are you doing looking up stat blocks?
I stumbled upon the Arcanoloth page today.
Huh.
Oh yeah, well, there's Mind Blink, which is not good for combat. Ignore that. Ignore the man behind the curtain.
Ignore that Cadden brings pain to his players. Cadden wants to kill his players.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, Ethan...
Often does. No, you often do kill your players.
I wouldn't say often. I've only...
No, I would say it's pretty often.
We've been doing this campaign for...
3 years.
3-4 years.
We've had at least, like, 3 to 4 people die.
We had Midlift 6 die. Character deaths in this campaign.
Well,
six.
If you count the one shot, yeah. Midlift die. We had our wizard die. We had our paladin just die recently. We had you, Ethan, die for a little bit before you got brought back.
Correct. Then all of our other characters, like my wizard sorcerer, died.
Yeah. Petrified and then crushed.
So yeah, he's dead. there's no coming back from that one. Yeah. There's been a lot of deaths, man.
Yeah. Yes. Now that you say it out loud, yeah.
Yeah, you like it. So
I don't like it. It just happens.
I'm glad we all know.
Yeah. Well, Ethan, we'll have to have you back for that. Who's that Pokemon episode, and/or more guessing more monsters, and/or other future content. Ethan, anything you want to shout out or praise yourself for before we call it quits?
No, man, I don't really do anything. I kind of just work and then just hang out. Yeah,
fair.
That's just kind of all I do now.
And then almost die in D&D sessions.
True. I do really bad at D&D. I do really bad at I do really good at not hitting stuff, and I do really good at trying to come up with situations that will not make us money. Take a lot of time.
Rum
You'll
coconuts.
You'll open up that rum business eventually.
I have an island now.
You have an island. I will. You have an island, you have a cave. It's going great.
I have a goon cave. I'm going to do so much gooning.
No, we're leaving that cave immediately. Next session, we've been there too long. But, dear audience, if you could guess any of these monsters much quicker, or if you would include any other notable abilities, actions, creature types, or bits of lore yourselves, let us know in the comments. If there are any other monsters you'd like us to include in the future for future runs of this game, let us know.
All right, everybody. This has been wonderful having our esteemed guest here. I assume he'll definitely want to come back for revenge, or maybe just to torture the Grand Dungeon Master.
I'm the Grand Dungeon Master.
Our evil host, Cad MacArthur. But for now, time to wrap it off and send you off into your weeks. I am Cole Browning.
I'm Cad MacArthur.
I'm Ethan. Hey.
And this has been Unquestionably Nerdy. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.